Good morning. And you guys are family. I saw it happen yesterday. It was amazing. It is like family. So we're going to be talking about the culmination of last week's sermon as we talk about and look at the rest that God has provided. And he talks about it in the seventh day of creation. But first, I need my kids. So, I think I've told you most of the time, I work at the school, grade school, on Saturdays. Come on up, come on up, come on up, all the way. Work on the grade schools at the grade school on Thursdays. And I'm starting to get to know the kids a little better, get their names and everything. And now several of them have adopted me as grandpa. And that just is grandpa, because I'm definitely a grandpa person. And I think that maybe I shared this with you before. I wear a hat there, but sometimes I don't. It depends, because I'm outside most of the time. And one of the couple of the little boys said, "You look like Mr. Clean." So I'm definitely one of the older people that are there. So they look at me as a grandpa. And so I look at these guys. This is my Kids Jam kids. And I kind of feel like, boy, I wish I was your grandpa. Being a grandpa is probably one of the greatest joys of my life. And yeah. And so it's really nice to have you guys. So I'm gonna have you pretend today I'm your grandpa. And you know I love you. I hope you know that. Even though I would adopt every single one of you as my grandkids. So let's just say we're gonna have a fun day with grandpa. And grandpa has planned a hike up to Wallace Falls. How many of you have ever been to Wallace Falls? It's gorgeous. Now, it's not necessarily gorgeous when it's got an atmospheric river above you, but on a nice day, it is a spectacular hike. But how many of you been there? Is it a little brutal of a hike? Yes, it is. It takes some effort because there are some pretty steep areas of that. So you're going up quite a few feet in elevation, but it is a very beautiful place. Anyway, so let's just say, how many of you guys would like to go on a hike with Grandpa Tim? Okay? No? No? Okay, well, you're lucky. You're smarter. Okay. So let's just say we're preparing for our hike, and there are things, let's just say we're going to spend the night, and there are things we absolutely have to have that need to go up there. Well, let's just say, so who wants to volunteer to be my hiking partner? Okay, well, it looks like a bunch of you do. We'll just take, how about you, since you're probably going to be free, for you, you're going to start with Zane here. Okay. Zane? So I prepared a couple of backpacks for a hike. There's two of them here. And I'm going to give you this one.
Is that even in it?
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm going to take this one. Now, we're going to hike along. By the way, this one weighs about 60 pounds. I'm surprised it isn't flipping him over. He's a stronger kid than I thought. Okay, so we're going to be hiking along, and then pretty soon, this one, which is very heavy, is going to start weighing on my little buddy Zane. And maybe we might get halfway up the trail, and he's going to think, "Grandpa, do you really love me at all? Here you are, this bigger guy. I'm about 100 and just over 160 pounds, and I am old though. But you know, for me to take this, and him to take this, literally, this is about 60 pounds. I probably wouldn't be a very loving grandpa if I said, "Hey, I'm going to take the easy route and carry this one." And I'm going to make my buddy Zane, who's much smaller than I am and younger and weighs probably a third what I weigh, carry this one. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like our hike through life with God. And you know what? God's a good, he's not a grandpa, but he loves his children. And he says, "Look, we're going to go on this hike. It's called life. It's going to be hard, and it's steep, And when it comes time, I'm going to carry the heavy load so that you don't have to. Now, I could say to Zane, how would you like to carry that one? I don't know about that. And that's the way God is with us. He understands that life is hard. Now, you guys may not have experienced too much difficulty in your life yet, but if you haven't, it's coming. Because that's the way it is when we broke everything. It's hard, and there's lots of stuff. And so even though there's stuff we need in life, and it's heavy, it weighs us down, we have responsibilities. You guys, you don't necessarily have to have a whole lot, but I bet you have some responsibilities at home, right? Your mom and dad have things that you need to do, give you jobs and chores. And then there's the stress of school, right? It's kind of hard sometimes, and you're wondering, how am I going to do? And so the things of life can become a really heavy burden sometimes. And when you get older and you make even more goofy mistakes, then it's even harder. And then you have to also be part of the mistakes that other people make. Or just when things go bad, or maybe there's a bad storm, or the tree falls over and hits your car. Just bad things that happen in a life where everything around you is broken. So God tells us this. He says, come to me, all who labor, who are working hard, and are heavily laden or burdened down, and I will give you rest. See, that's when God says, I'll take the heavy backpack, and you take the light one. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. When you guys go through in this walk of life and it's like a hike, and most of the time it's uphill. I hate to bring that to you now, but it's pretty true. Sometimes there's flat spots, and sometimes you can be at the top and come back down. But a lot of the time, it's an uphill hike. And if you don't learn to give the burden over to God, you're going to be carrying that heavy one all by yourself. And it's going to make your life even harder. And so we have to learn how to do that. And even as we get older, like me, sometimes I'm terrible at that. And we all have a tendency to want to carry the burden ourselves because we haven't trusted God to do all the things he's told us he's already willing to do. All right? You're going to have to remember, this might be one of the best lessons Grandpa Tim could give you. Life is hard, but God is good, but we got to give him the trouble. All right, don't forget. All right, thank you for coming up. I think I just about wrecked my back just carrying that thing over here. So there we are, and we went through some stuff last week, and so it's going to be a quick review, and quick because we don't have a lot of time today, but that's good. So we talked about creation, and we saw the seventh day of creation come, and what did God do? Okay, we saw that. We're going to get to that again at the end. So thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So God does it on the seventh day. He rests and he makes it holy. Those are the two things he do. Did God need rest? No. Did he then, was he looking forward for us? Was he saying, I am going to do this in a symbolic way and take this day of rest and make this one day holy, because when you guys break everything, you are going to need some rest. Both physical, mental, and spiritual. And so I already know that because I'm God. And so I'm going to institute this day. It is called the seventh day. On that day, rest. You're going to need it. And I'm going to make it holy. This is a day that you are not only supposed to rest, but you are supposed to rest in worship of me. Okay. Rest and holiness. Rest and holiness. You need both. So God sets apart the seventh day right from the beginning. Before things that were even broken, he knew what was going on. He knew we were going to need rest. Okay, so remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So God institutes it with creation. He talks about it then. It eventually becomes a law. One of the Ten Commandments, commandment number three, I think it's three. Yeah, I think it's three. Could be wrong, but I think it's three. Nonetheless, it's one of those early ones, and God says, remember the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, day of rest that I'm giving you, that I'm expecting you to remember, and then he gives them, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and harvest time you shall rest. So even if life really demands your attention, even when you need to stay up with all this hectic schedule that you've created for yourself, even if you think you need to be out there or, oh my goodness, I can't pay the bills, trust me. Set apart this day. You're going to need to rest and worship me. In faith, be obedient. Okay, are we in there? Now, so on the seventh day, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So we have the day. God institutes it at creation. It becomes a law. His people are following the law. We talked about it last week. They get so legalistic about it that it's totally ridiculous. And then Jesus comes and he starts to violate the Sabbath. What in the world is that all about? Well, because Jesus is helping them to see, I am the Sabbath rest. This was just a sign. It's just a symbol. It's just a type, a shadow of things to come. And now here I am, and I am providing rest for you, physical, spiritual, and emotional rest. Because you live in a broken world, life is hard. I know that. Because you are sinners, you have stress in your life from your sin, and you are not then in close relationship to God. And so I am here to provide this rest that only I can give you. It is nothing about a holiday. It's not about a particular day of the week. It is me. I am the Sabbath rest. So it tells us in Hebrews, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still stands, and this is talking about, okay, this is, we're moving from the old covenant. This is the author of Hebrews writing to Jews who are used to keeping the Sabbath very closely with all the ridiculous rules that we read last week. And so he's telling them, there's this promise of entering the rest, and we've been celebrating this coming rest with the Sabbath day, but it was only symbolic. Now I'm going to tell you, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you seem to have failed to reach it. If you're trying to do it through effort on your own part, you are not going to enter the true Sabbath rest. It's not about rule following. It is about, in faith, accepting Christ. For the good news or the gospel came to us just as it did to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So basically he's telling them, when you hear the gospel, the good news, if you want to truly enter the rest, you have to accept that message and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you can enter the true rest that I have prepared for my children. So, how do we look at that? How do we see those things? How do we enter that rest? We didn't read the rest of it. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of a day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's us. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God rested from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So what does it mean to strive to enter? Are we striving to enter? Are you striving to enter God's rest? Yes or no? Okay, well, it says we need to, and then, but this is to people now. These are people that are going to enter God. So what was the first step of entering, well, I say the first, but the major step for entering the true Sabbath rest of God? What did you need to do? I just told you. Except Jesus, right? Okay, so we've talked about these things. At some point, hopefully, you're going to be able to share your faith with someone. What are you going to tell them? There are really two aspects to this. One, you get to be reconciled back to God through the work done on your behalf by Jesus Christ on the cross. And when you accept that, and accept Jesus Christ by faith, you become a child of God. Okay, and then your eternal rest is guaranteed. God is saying, there's another aspect, another phase of your existence. And when you enter my rest, your eternal rest is secured. Talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, right? There's this inheritance. It's waiting for me. It cannot fade or spoil or go away, and no one can take it from me. It's kept for me by God. And so when I enter the rest, my guaranteed eternal destiny is there, and it's going to be perfect. It's going to be all of the bad stuff is gone. My intimacy with God, my intimacy with the other people of God, this place that I'm going to live, this new heaven and new earth where God's space and man's space are once more put together the way they were intended to be at the beginning. And here I'm living, and life is no longer hard. That we had the banner out there in our tent. God is good, life is hard. How can we pray for you? It'll say, life is good, God is good. Let's just celebrate. That's the next phase of your existence. Okay, so I want to enter. How many of you want to enter that rest? Hopefully most of you have. If you haven't, you need to. But then the other part of Christianity, which is a little more difficult to understand and to explain to the non-believer. Okay, what are you getting out of it now? What are you getting out of it now? How is this Christianity thing helping you today? Well, guess what? God says, no. I have a rest available for you right now. Are you entering that rest? Well, what does that rest look like, Tim? How do we get into that rest? Because life is still hard. In fact, God is telling me, in this world, you will have trouble. You will. I can guarantee God has kept that promise. Life is hard. Just like these young kids. And I work, you know, at the school. And the gal who kind of recruited me, Dan Spaeth Memorial Service, and I was in a conversation talking to someone else, like, boy, I'd really like to have an opportunity to work at the school. Well, she happened to overhear that, and she said, hey, I'm the PE teacher there, and I need someone to help out in the recesses, and if you'd like to do that. So I'm doing it, and so she comes out all the time. She's a Christian lady. And she constantly thanks me for coming. And I say, hey, are you kidding me? This is the greatest blessing I love it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. But I look out there and I see these kids. And so I'm telling and they're asking me, well, gosh, you know, I know these guys are not easy sometimes. And they're not. And they're kids and they have their time. But I look out there and I see promise and hope in these young lives, and you know the innocence And I'm thinking, I really enjoy that, to see that. Because you know what? It's not going to be that way for long. And I'm sure that each one of them has some sort of trouble in their life. And just like my Kids Jam kids, you know, you're here and your life is pretty simple and you got school and friends. But nonetheless, you know, even as a kid, life can be hard. Not nearly as hard as it is an adult, but so we know it's coming. We know life is hard. How then are we going to enter God's rest here and now? What's it going to look like and how do we get there? How do we find rest within the brokenness of ourselves, of others, in our world? How are you doing with that? I would like to just stop for a second. Well, let me move on first. I'm going to give you some things to think about. So it says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. There's three words there, Greek words that say come to me. There, so each one of them is a separate Greek word. Come, move towards me. This is Jesus giving us the formula to finding rest while we are still broken and still living in brokenness. Is that an enormous benefit of Christianity? If we're taking advantage of it. Is it? If I'm going to share something about Christianity to someone and they don't believe in heaven or hell, have these conversations before. Well, you know, in the end, we get to go to heaven. I don't believe in heaven. I think this is it. That's why you're done. So what's it doing for you now, Tim? What's it doing for you now? Well, it hasn't made my life easier as far as the circumstances of my life. Well, then what good is your Christianity, Tim? Well, am I taking advantage of this? Just like the kids. I mean, short of accepting Christ as your Savior and assuring your eternal destiny, do you understand how important this is? Do you understand as each one of us has to navigate the negative circumstances of this world that you, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you try to surround yourself, no matter how many resources you have to try to protect yourself from the downsides of this life, it's coming for you. You cannot hide from it. I did a lot of work for very wealthy people in the time that I did cabinets, and I could see them trying to stockpile resources around them to take care of the contingencies and the bad things of life, and then they'd get cancer. Paul Allen worked for him, had all that money, didn't keep him from dying from cancer. Life is coming for you because that's how it is when it got broken. And so God is saying, I understand that. But here's what I'm making available to you. Are you taking advantage of it? Come to me all. All who, every single one of you that feels fatigued by the hardness of life and are carrying a heavy load because of the circumstances of your life. That's what those words mean. And I will give you rest. I will refresh you and take the burden away. Okay. Take my yoke. So how are you doing with that? Does this mean, in your mind, does this mean that God says, oh, I'm going to take away all the negative circumstances of your life? Well, of course, I'm just told you that's not true. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy burdened. Does that describe you? Think about it. And I will give you rest. I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you. So I think I misunderstood this verse for a long time. Take my yoke upon you. You know what that means? What is it? What do you think? You can go ahead and answer. What do you think that means? Take my yoke upon you. Because I kind of thought it was, you know, just give it all over. No, this is like a yoke. Okay, and what he's saying is, come alongside me and hitch up to me. not come alongside me and ride on my back. No, come alongside me and we're both going to walk up the hill together. But here's the deal. I'm pulling most of the weight. That's what it's saying. He's saying, you can be out here on your own. You can hitch your wagon to yourself. And who do we yoke to most of the time? Self. Okay? Even as Christians, most of the time, we're trying to deal with the hardness of life on our own. Number one, abuser. Especially when you think you got some, you know, I'm pretty smart. I got a lot of capabilities. I'm kind of an A-type personality. I could carry the heavy backpack for a while. And I think, you know, God, that, you know, you gave me the big shoulders and I got all these capabilities and stuff. So let me carry, I'll take the heavy one. And God said, you're an idiot. I didn't design you for that, Tim. You can if you want, I guess. But why would you want to? And so I want to find Jesus and I want to yoke up with him, because what he's saying is, for I learn, oh, I got to get to that. Learn from me. I want you to come hitch up with me. You can walk up, you can pull your wagon up the hill by yourself, but that would be dumb. So you get on the yoke with me. But I'm going to be pulling the vast majority of the weight. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what I am offering you as a Christian. That's what I am offering you as one of my children. As the grandpa who's going on the hike, I'll carry the heavy stuff. Learn from me. In the Greek, that means understand who I am and what I have done and will do. Learn from me. It isn't just saying learn from me like maybe the grandpa little stories and stuff. No, understand who I am. When you understand that I am God, and you understand that I am the Redeemer and the Savior, and that I am inhabiting your life, understand who I am so you can take advantage of that. Learn from me. Yoke up with me. Learn the capabilities that I am giving you and the things that I will do, for I'm gentle. I am meek. Now, what does this mean? I am gentle and lowly. Well, does that mean, man, you're pretty weak? I don't want to hook up with another horse who can't pull his own weight. No, he's saying, I am God, and yet I am bringing myself down to relate with you. I am gentle and lowly and meek and loving. Connect up with me. You will find rest for your souls, for you will obtain and understand and find rest or recreation for your souls down deep in the part of you that craves to be restored and satisfied, and only God can supply. Not just, I'll make you feel better for today. Not just, you can get rid of some of the fatigue. No, I'm saying rest for your souls. The down deep cravings that you have, that all human beings are given by God, that can only be supplied by God. If you want those things to be satisfied, you need to do this. You need to hook up with me and give me the load. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden. Is he saying my burden meaning his own? No. He's saying, my burden, meaning when you hook up with me, I'll pull the majority of the weight. So my yoke, my burden will be heavy, but yours will be light. Okay. How do we do it? How do we find the rest that God intended with his original statement in the seventh day of creation? That he was giving us as a symbol, that he was giving us as a foreshadowing of things to come. This, how are we carrying things on our own that God never intended us to carry? The original Sabbath required faith. God says, look, so back in the day when you were just trying to survive, and it took 7 days to just barely make it and put food on the table, God said, no, take this day off. and worship me and have faith, then in 6 days, I'll give you everything you need for seven. Okay, so it took some faith to be obedient. The formula hasn't changed. If we're going to take advantage of this rest in this life when things are still hard, it's going to require faith and obedience and celebrating who God is. Okay, so let's go down. What happens in this life because of our brokenness? Anger, unforgiveness, fear, anxiety and worry, doubt. The chains of our past that can't be cut through. Past wounds that we can't seem to get around or get over. Striving to have and be and do. Guilt, discouragement, sadness, despair, futility, confusion, hopelessness, exhaustion, and unconfessed sins. When we are living in this brokenness, these are the things that that part of our life produces. God is saying, I will take those things from you if you give them to me. I'm going to go through the list again. Slowly, ask yourself, am I carrying one of these or several of them? And trying to get through my life on my own. Anger. Unforgiveness. Fear. Worry and anxiety. Doubt, the wounds of my past, striving, guilt, discouragement, sadness, despair, the futility of life, confusion, hopelessness, exhaustion, and unconfessed sin. Each one of those things will weigh you down. None of those things has God intended you to carry on your own. If I'm going to share my Christianity with someone and they're going to ask me, what in the world is so great about Christianity besides, okay, you think after this life you're going to go to heaven or hell? I don't believe in any of that. What's it doing for you today? I have a God who's totally in control. He's working all things together for my good. I know that there's a purpose in the bad things that happened in my life, because he tells me in his word that I can find joy in trial. Consider it joy when you encounter trials of various kinds, because the testing of your faith is producing perseverance, and perseverance is going to finish its job by making you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I have a God who has my back, that sees everything before it happens, that allows some things to happen, but he's always there. My future is completely assured. I'm never alone. There's forgiveness available to me whenever I ask it and confess. God gives me worth and value and identity and security and hope. He's never given me anything that he won't walk through with me. Now, we hear this saying, you know, God will never give you anything you can't handle, and that's such a piece of a lie. God always will give you things you can't handle so that you'll have to rely on him, but he'll never give you anything he won't walk through with you. I can trust all the outcomes to God and still find peace. See, that's what you have as a Christian. You have all of those things. Do you still have anger? Do you still have unforgiveness? Do you still have fear, worry, anxiety, debt, doubts, striving, guilt, futility, hopelessness? God is saying, I'll carry all those things for you if you'll only give them to me. So what does it take? What does it take to give them to God? In faith, you have to take advantage of the promises that he's given you and live them. And recognize that all of those things are true. Those promises that he's giving you, that he's never going to leave me alone, that I can always go to him, that he's always going to have my back, that he's working all things together for good, that outcomes totally belong to him, so that when the trials and storms of life wash over you, you can still have the rest and the peace that he has made available, but only when you give it up and give it to God. Only when you give it up and give it to God. How many of you are carrying around burdens that God is willing to take because you just think you're not worthy, or you think God doesn't really see it, or that God doesn't really care, or that you're so ashamed of it you don't want to give it to God? Don't leave. Don't leave today without letting it go. You know what it is. And God is there saying, I'll take it. Or you can carry the 60-pound backpack up to Wallace Falls on your own. Let's pray. Dear Father, what an amazing thing you have made available to us, this peace in trial, this rest in the brokenness of a very confusing and chaotic world. And most of the time, I leave it alone and do it on myself. Lord, help us to give you what you're willing to take and to walk shoulders up, eyes front, in the peace and rest that you've made available through Jesus Christ. It's a hard move for us to make. We're stubborn. We're selfish. We're prideful. And we try to fix things on our own. Lord, give us the courage and the faith to give you it all. And then leave it alone, not pick it up again. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.